Jason, thank you very much. We have a series of questions. I'd like to do a follow-up on this, your last point here about how farmers manage the risk during the next farm rebound. What do you think are the risk management lessons from what we've just been through that producers should apply going forward in terms of their figuring out how to manage the risk?
Yeah, I think the one risk management lesson from our standpoint, they've been doing it for quite some time, is to manage their debt, manage their leverage. We know in terms of agriculture, I think there's going to be some opportunities emerging. And so as agriculture makes those investments to seize those emerging opportunities, they need to not rely exclusively on debt to make those investments and to maintain that leverage into more historical levels and not being over leveraged. I think that's the one one lesson going forward. What everything is going on in terms of the lessons that the rest of the country, Wall Street, is learning, it's a lesson of leverage, and I think that's the lesson that farmers need to go forward with, is make prudent investments, but making sure that you have some equity involved in there, and not relying solely on debt.
One of our participants has a question around Asian markets and asks, will the Asian markets lag behind the U.S. in economic recovery? And they asked, if so, how far behind? We're looking for how clear is your crystal ball here.
Right. I think one of the challenges we've had is traditionally that the rest of the world has relied on the U.S. to lead economic recoveries. And I don't know if that's going to be the case this time. I think there's a good possibility that instead of the U.S. leading the global economy out of this recession, it's going to be the other global economies leading the U.S. out of this economic recovery. Now, that's kind of it's a different set of circumstances. Asian markets rely on our consumer buying a lot of consumer products that they make and the export activity. So I'm thinking that in terms of this time period, there's potential opportunities where what China needs to do in terms of rebalancing a global trade is their consumers need to start consuming more. And if they have stronger economic growth, which they're going to try to do with an emerging middle class, and their consumers save a little bit less and start spending more to rebalance this financial imbalances that we've built up with global trade over the past decade, I think it's a possibility that it's Asian markets that are going to not lag the U.S. in the recovery, but could potentially lead us out. As a result, we have to find ways to sell products to global markets, especially these emerging markets. And how do we go to do that? I think agriculture is a great example of one industry that can lead this, you know, in terms of exporting to foreign economies. But I think it's more of Asian markets are probably going to lead us instead of us lagging them.
Another question has to do with the impact of the weak U.S. dollar on the volume of future ag exports. And I'd like to add just a little. Over the weekend, there's been a lot of reaction in the press, at least around what's Dubai's recent statements and actions, and had some impact on the value of the dollar. So that's a short-term, you view those kinds of things as a short-term spike, long-term spike, and do we have to continue to have a weakening dollar to increase our exports?
Yeah. I think in terms of the value of the dollar, we know that a weaker value of the dollar makes our goods more affordable, and it really is stimulative to the volume of export activity that we have to foreign countries. So that's been a positive. We've seen that here through 2009, that as the year has progressed, as the value of the dollar weakened, we saw agricultural exports in terms of some of the volumes increase as well. I think there's some policy implications in terms of the volume, in terms of we need to open markets, especially for those proteins, the meats, the pork, the beef, to get our volumes in there. Dubai, that's another example of too much leverage in certain areas where you make investments and you're highly leveraged, and if you cannot, in uncertain markets and as markets evolve, if you're not able to make those payments, then you're in a position where solvency issues and liquidity issues arise and create some challenges there. I think that lower value of the dollar, I don't know where it's going to go going forward. I think there's going to be some volatility. There's potential for volatility there. If we have some risks that emerge in terms of the financial markets and people go to a safe haven type of environment looking for that safe haven investment, what we've seen over the last year is that they'll come and buy U.S. securities, and that'll lead to a rising dollar. At the same time, on the flip side, if global economies, emerging countries grow faster than the United States, there's going to be an incentive for investors to invest in those faster growing countries, not in the U.S., and that potentially keeps the dollar low. And so I think there's a lot of uncertainty around that dollar market, but in general, lower values of the dollar are supportive for agricultural exports.
You talked a lot about commodity prices, and you did talk some about energy prices. What are the forecasts about input prices going forward? Fuels, fertilizers, chemical?
I was just the one recent one that I've been looking at is in terms of the USDA cost of production. They're looking at them rising between 8 and 9% in terms of fuels prices in there for 2010. I think a lot of it in terms of the cost is going to be when do farmers hedge appropriately, when do they buy in terms of the timing of that market. But I think you're looking at probably some higher prices in terms of fuels out there for the market and the input costs.
We have a question about CRP policy, which, and I think I don't know what the consensus is, but a general feeling that the changes in CRP policy are going to be there's land coming out of CRP. And what do you think that might impact that might have on land prices as the recession resolves over the next several years?
Right. I think what that'll do is obviously if you increase the supply of land in those certain areas that it's coming out in terms of the market, you could potentially bring down more supply if it's not matched by a rise in demand that from an economic theory standpoint says you'd bring down prices in general out there. I don't necessarily know if that's going to be kind of the case or not. I think it'll probably have more of a muted effect on land values in general. It might have more of a location-specific impacts, but I think in general land values, I don't think that'll have this opening up of the CRP will have too major of an impact because much of the CRP has been kind of that marginal ground and land out there, and a lot of the demand so far has been for that that high quality land activity that produces high yields out there. So I wouldn't expect an overall, in aggregate, much of an impact in certain locations that there's a lot of it that comes up out of the market that might have some geographical differences, though.
And back to energy ethanol, one of the questions that we have is, do you anticipate changes in the EPA requirements for ethanol in domestic gasoline affecting agriculture commodity prices?
Yeah, well, I think in terms of if they change the EPA requirements, I think it will have some impact. Ethanol is, in my opinion, a government mandated requirement. It's driven by government sector policy. If you raise the requirements for ethanol and domestic gasoline, you're going to increase the demand for ethanol. You're going to increase the demand for corn, and that's going to have some uptick on prices, especially the corn price scenario. Might not be as much as what it was expected in terms of, I don't expect a 2006 return of profitability, but it would have an uptick in terms of prices. As a result, if you would boost prices again, you know, that does have some negative impact on the livestock sector if it raises their feed costs, unless they can use some of the byproducts coming out of those plants. But right now, we have enough capacity to basically meet the requirements through 2015. So it would increase the demand a little bit, and it would have some uptick on the corn prices in general.
Just two last questions, Jason, and then it's been really good and informative. I really appreciate the information that you've provided here. And one is kind of back to the more general economy and about housing in the housing sector. And what are your expectations about rising interest rates and their impact on housing markets?
Yeah, housing has been the biggest industry that we need to think about in terms of economic activity, because it was really the one sector that started this financial crisis and the steep recession that we had. What we've had from long-term rates for housing still remain quite low, and so that's supportive of the housing sector. But housing in general, what real challenge that we have in housing is that a lot of the recent demand in housing activity has been government stimulus driven with the first time home buyers tax credit. And as that ends, there's been a lot of questions about how sustainable is that demand out there for new homes and for increasing home sales. And so what we've seen with that going forward is that we've had stronger entry-level housing markets across the country, but that has not yet spurred stronger sales in the mid-tier market. So anything below $200,000, sales are actually pretty strong across the country. But if you go above $200,000, they tend to be generally weak. And so we've had that stimulus, that tax credit has, you know, sparked the housing sector, but it really hasn't really led into something that's probably more sustainable going forward. As interest rates rise, that's going to have a negative impact on housing activity in terms of it's going to increase the cost of purchase. It's going to increase monthly payments. Hopefully, most of the purchasers have locked into long-term loans and did not do adjustable rate mortgages so that the rising interest rates won't have as much of an impact on monthly mortgages term. That was really the challenge that we had in 2004, is that with record low interest rates, people were still locking into adjustable rate mortgages and buying houses beyond their means. And so when interest rates started to rise, they couldn't afford the monthly payments. So I don't think we're going to have that situation again as long as people use these low interest rates to lock in a 30-year mortgage.
Okay. Well, this is, thank you very much. I guess I would just give you the opportunity to provide what you think the challenges might be for those of us ag professionals working with farm and ranch families to help them think more positive, think positively, and be successful. Have you got some closing thoughts for us as we move forward through this winter meetings session time?
I'm actually quite optimistic about agriculture over the next year. I think there's more upside risk than what there is in terms of downside risk. There, I've been putting at it in terms of this way. Corn is $4. We've had bumper crops, and demand has been terrible. And if you put it in that framework, if demand starts to rebound and we have lean supplies, I think there's potential for some upward risk and for some opportunities out there for agriculture. And to position themselves, they need to remember the lessons that they probably learned in the 1980s, or their fathers and grandfathers told them about the 1980s, in terms of manage your balance sheet well, manage your debt. And if you come in with a solid financial plan, bankers will have credit available to make your investments to seize those market opportunities.
Well, thank you very much. This has been really good. And we appreciate you taking the time, Jason, to be with us. And thank you to our audience. For those of you out there, if you're interested in getting the web links in a file right on your computer, just highlight one of these three files that you see there in the download pod, and if you click on Save to My Computer, then there are instructions that you just follow and click on. These are virus-free files, and download them. So we look forward to seeing you all next week, next Wednesday, same time, and thank you all.